I'm life and business coach Samantha Siffring, and this is the Online Business Building Mamas podcast, where you learn how to build a wildly successful business from home while raising kids. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. So this week, I actually have my husband, Stuart, joining. And the reason that I really wanted to have him join is that I get a lot of comments, questions, and just like general help me type messages from a lot of you around the topic of how to handle it when either your friends or family or partner or all of the above don't support your business or don't understand your business. And so I thought this would be a really nice topic for Stuart and I to hop on and address and give you thoughts like from both of our perspectives and then from both of our perspectives like from before and now. It's like a before and after. So welcome, Stuart.
Thanks, hon. What a blast. Love being on your podcast. What a treat.
Anything that you want to do to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I guess start off by saying that my life is wonderful now. Thanks, babe. I spend my days helping the business for a good portion of it, but then also get a lot of opportunities just to go towards my own passions. And that involves working on cars, working on houses, and making sure that the kids are properly taken care of and living their best life. And thanks for making that a reality. And I'm looking forward to helping other people make that their dreams come true as well.
Yes. So for everybody listening who has joined Mama to CEO, Stuart is probably the one who shipped your workbook to you. That's one of his tasks. And for all of our contractors, everybody on our team, he's the one who sends payment. So you do some really good stuff in the business and volunteer at the kids' school, do field trip chaperoning, do breakfast making, all of that. And I think you are also famous for making me a latte every day.
The morning coffee. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Nothing would run without that.
That's the truth. That's like the real fuel of the business. Okay. So I think first, I really just wanted to hear the thoughts that you have, and then we can kind of like discuss each thought you have if you have multiple ones. But when you hear about like people reaching out to me asking, like, how do I handle it if friends and family don't support my business or don't understand my business? Like, what are your thoughts? What comes up for you?
Yeah, I think I'm so used to having a family that's kind of unconditionally supportive. If you ask for some help, they're there to watch the kids, to give you a ride to the airport, to do whatever needs to happen to make your dream, your business happen. That, yeah, it's difficult to know why there would be people who don't support it. But if they don't understand it, I think that's a really important thing to take care of first. I'm not sure if our families knew much about your business when it first started or really
still
understood.
Don't.
Yeah.
My aunts think that I deal drugs.
Exactly. But they know that they see the lifestyle changes. They see our greater freedom. And I think that's what makes it real in their eyes. But yeah, I just keep coming back to thinking about my grandparents being nearby, you dropping them, the kids off when you were still juggling the kids and running a business and growing it. They were there any random day just to be able to help get that off your plate so you could focus on whatever that thing is you're doing, because they didn't know. Mm-hmm. So, but the lack of support, yeah, I think it's a critical thing to be able to have that. Your community, your friends, your family, that's who you can rely on to step in and help when there are issues with childcare, with not finding date nights, or those important things that make the life that you want worth living.
Yeah. I think that's something that like was really important to us. Like when we first got married And like when I was first pregnant with our oldest, we lived somewhere where we didn't have those types of relationships. And so we moved to be near your family. And it was interesting, like hearing you talk about me dropping the kids off at your grandparents' house, because I remember that being so uncomfortable for me. Like, this is something still that is like really difficult, that like I regularly get coached on this, asking for help, and like that vulnerability maybe of asking for help. And something that I think is like, I always feel like, and at the time I felt like, if I'm asking for help, it has to be justified, like with a really good reason. So I think it could have led me to this place where I thought, well, they have to understand and like support my business for me to be able to ask for this, when really, like, I don't know even what your grandparents think about my business, but I know that they really enjoy just like supporting us in general. And so like, and also they just love spending time with our kids. So it's also like a gift for them that they like having that time. So I think like sometimes we can really get in our head that like they have to understand the business or love and support the business, when really like sometimes it's okay for the person to not understand, support, or even maybe know about the details of your business, but just that they love and support you and this is something that you're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's where we were lucky. But if there are some of your people who are having trouble getting that support, or maybe they don't live near family, I feel like even if it was a friend of ours from the school who was like, hey, I'm doing this thing as conference call, I'm doing this sales pitch in the evening, would you mind watching the kids for a while? Would you mind helping me out by grabbing some groceries on your way? I mean, next time that you're at the store. I feel like a lot of people are just really caught up in their head, just like you mentioned you were, about asking for help, how really everyone is willing to help. It just, you got to show some vulnerability by actually asking. And that can be difficult, but I think everyone has support if they ask for it, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I think this is something that I've really learned from you that I feel like is really a strength that you have, or like a perspective that you have, that for some reason I really didn't. I don't know why, but this idea that like people really want to help. And I feel like this is like a, maybe this is just like a value in your family of origin that was not maybe in mine, not that mine is not helpful, but just in a different way. I feel like your parents, you, there's just this vibe of like support and pitching in, and like we're all in it together, and like desire to help. Like your parents are the kind of people who would like drop something and like go help anybody, you know, like
absolutely
friends, family, like that's just who they are. So I think like that's a value that was really instilled in you. And like I see so many examples of that in your past, of like being willing to just do crazy stuff, maybe for friends or family, or like for me, you know, like you would like in college drive 24 hours straight to come visit me for like a weekend.
Yes, right. And I think of those examples in my life, like my brother, he was in a band. They were touring with the Warped Tour on their, with their ska band. And they had a tour bus driving through the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, hit some black ice, flipped the truck, ejected some of the band members, and who'd they call? Well, it was my dad. Hopped in the truck, was able to go rescue them in a moment's notice.
In the middle of the night.
Exactly. And I don't know. I feel like most people are willing to help you if you're in a bad situation. Obviously, my family might be a little on the extreme side of helping in any situation, but that kind of help has been a huge assistance for us. And I feel like most of your clients have a similar support system. And if they don't, just ask.
Yeah. I do think, like, of course, this is not true for everybody, but I do think that for the majority of us, it is more about the story we have in our head and the boundaries that we are putting in place to block ourselves from being supported than truly not being supported. And I think, like, this is something that I've talked about so many times. Like, back when I used to do discovery calls one-on-one with people to sell my coaching, so often the number one obstacle was, I have to talk to my husband. And like, anybody who brought up that concern, it was a husband. It was not like any other kind of like person in their life or partner. It was like a husband. Maybe it was like a more traditional kind of relationship or something, but they would bring this up. And something that I would always say was, in my experience, my husband has always been really supportive of the things that I like really, really wanted to do. And all I had to do was say that. And if I would come to the conversation unsure, like, there's just like such a difference, I think, between like, this is really what I want to do. This is why. This is how I think it's going to help me. Like, this is why this is important to me. That is so different than, well, there's this thing and it costs like a couple thousand dollars. I don't know. What do you think? Should we spend thousands of dollars?
Yeah. I remember so those different conversations vividly. And I think it started even as small as maybe it was like $250 or $300 for some.
It literally was. And I remember like I was unsure about that investment for a year.
Right. And when you did it, it finally got you to a certain level in that business where you were able to really crank it up and pay that back or earn it back in next to no time at all. And I feel like that built up a history of success, a track record, where the next time when he came and the investment was 2000, it was, yeah, I'm still going to ask questions and poke you, make sure that you're actually really into it before giving the okay. But I always am open to whatever your desires are. And that's, I think, something that you proved to be a good investment.
Yeah. That's so funny. Like, thinking about it now from your perspective of like, I would bring this and you would be thinking like, I'm poking at it to like, make sure that you're like really all in with it. Because in my mind, it was like, Stuart hates this thing and really doesn't want me to do it.
Yep. It's just my analytical mind. Like, hey, let's look at all the other alternatives that we might spend this money on. How's it going to change some goal we might've had for the future? And I remember a lot of times it being, well, sounds good. You know, you're going to have to drive that 15-year-old car a little while longer.
Yeah. Always the car. We put off getting a better car for so long, like so many investments and years, like years of mastermind meant years of shitty car.
But yeah, it paid off. And I think it is really up to the people you're talking to come up with that good sales pitch and say, hey, here's what I think life will be like after I imbibe this knowledge and, you know, take off with the business and focus on, I make it a priority. I think that's probably the biggest hurdle. Mm-hmm. Here's what our life could be like. And I think that our life has been so changed by your business that even if you were to give a pitch right now, it's beyond what we could have imagined. And I think that's, yeah.
Now it's just like, this is what I'm doing, if I even say that at all. It's like, oh, by the way, I spent like $50,000 today.
Yeah, that's a number.
I feel like that number is so different to me now than it used to be. Like, we're just like on such a different scale with the numbers we deal with, or at least for me in my mind, I feel like I've become desensitized, or just like the scale has changed. So earlier you said you're really analytical, and this is something I get a lot. So my clients, my audience, they will always come to me and be like, My partner is very different. They're very analytical. The data is very important to them. And it's like presented like no one else in the world is like this. And I am just like, join the club. Like, I feel like most of my clients who are married, their partner is that way. I feel like it's like just these two personality types of like more of the like creative entrepreneur risk taker type, for some reason, will pair off with this analytical type. And it's just like something that I see all the time. But when you said it, I was like, oh yeah, people always think that that's really unique. So I think probably when I was wanting to make like a $2,000 investment, if I would have been like, this is leading me towards having a multi-million dollar business and you staying home full time and like all the things that are the reality of our life now, would that have felt like reality to you? Like, what do you think, like, was the believable vision for you at that time?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely wasn't that. That would have been a step too far for sure. But something, I don't know, just even increasing your family's income by $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month would have really sold me at that point. I would have thought, hey, this is, if you would have came to me, and maybe you did, and say, this is how I plan on creating an extra couple $1,000s a month into our budget, which was something I was super focused on during those times, I would have been up for the risk. I would have been very excited to invest in something like that because I know you, I know your track record, and I think the world of you. And any opportunity I have to be able to support your dreams, I would totally do that.
I think that's a big part of it too. Cause I remember like at that time of my life, I remember being like so much more unhappy than I am now. And it just now looking back, it feels like all of this was inside of me not being expressed and like had to come out. And I needed help getting to that place. And I think you saw that I was just like searching, you know, for something. And you were just like wanting to help with that. When you talked about the extra thousand or 2,000 a month, like I was just like, oh my gosh, that's so easy. Everyone can do that.
Yeah.
And it's so true. I remember that time of our life. Like I had all of these little gigs that I would do for like 200 a month max. And that made such a difference. And I think that this is something that like people always want to hear more about from me, from us, is like this time of our life where $200 felt like a make or break in a month. And I'm curious, like, what memories do you have from that time? Like, what are some crazy stories maybe, or
yeah,
things might become embarrassing, but what comes to mind for you?
I feel like the ultimate cheapskate move from that era was us doing a family road trip. And
oh my gosh, yeah.
So instead of having our newest car that was most comfortable, it was a Ford Escape from 2002. To go on this road trip from Colorado to Florida, I decided and ran the math that my 2000 Saab that was smaller and nowhere near as comfortable for everybody is the right choice to take. And because it would have literally saved us $125 in gas.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that, well, yeah, hey, I got a couple cool pictures of my Saab on a ferry, you know, somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. That was neat. But I always forget about the time when we left and it was a nonstop blizzard from Colorado all through Kansas. And we had to get some fuel. And we ended up getting high-centered in the snowdrift trying to get back on the highway.
Yeah. And it was like in the middle of the night too. Cause we did so many of these road trips. This was not one time. Like we did this so often, but we would always leave in the evening. So like you would finish work, you would get home, I don't know, 6 o'clock or whatever. And we would like pack up and get in the car. So this was like middle of Kansas. So I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And semis were clogging up the the gas station parking lot and all the filling stations because they couldn't travel on these conditions. But
and this is when I was pregnant with our third. So I was semi newly pregnant. That was the sickest I ever was. Like, could hardly eat, but had just got put on all this medication that made me like so drowsy, but I still had some of the nausea. And then we had two other little kids in the car that were like 2 and 4, and it was like 2 or 3 a.m. It was what a disaster.
But hey, I put you in the driver's seat. You're able to work the clutch, and I pushed from behind, and we got out of the snowdrift, got back on the road. I don't know if you remember that part, but that was...
I had blocked it out, but it came back just now.
We made it. Oh my gosh. So I don't know. Things, little things like that, that I feel like an extra couple hundred dollars a month would have made a huge difference in our lifestyle. And
yeah,
you know, even $100 over the course of a 2-week road trip was enough to change our whole game plan. So
yeah, there was so many times I still now sometimes when I go to pay for something have moments of panic. Like I am like so anti debit card now because I have been traumatized by our debit cards, like at the grocery store or whatever, being rejected.
I
feel like we were just like living on the edge for like years. And I was telling a client this a couple years ago, that it felt like we would start to get ahead. Like we would be like paying things off, like paying off debt or getting some savings or like that kind of thing. Like we would get in this good position and then something would happen. Like you would lose a job or we would have an unexpected expense or I don't even remember now like what even all the things were, but it felt like we would like get ahead and there would always be something that would happen. And then we would always be back to this place of like living on the edge.
Yeah. Paycheck to paycheck. And it never really could make any traction until really you started moving these entrepreneurial ventures forward and really changing the whole calculus, I guess you could call it, of our budget. And if there's anyone out there listening who's in that same spot right now, or every paycheck feels like it's already spent by the time it hits your account, yeah, it might be a couple months or years of sacrifice before your business might pay off. But you're listening to the right person. Sam's got the formula. And I think it's just a matter of time before anything can work. It just, you need to be willing to change, willing to put in the effort. Mm-hmm. And I guess Sam, you're the expert. You got all the steps planned out, but it's worth it. I think that's investing in your future is always worth it. That's something everyone I feel like knows or has heard intrinsically. Just do it.
Yeah.
Move forward. People are there to help you. The knowledge, the steps, they're all out there. Listen to Sammy.
Oh no, not everyone's going to call me Sammy.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think that sometimes people can feel like investing in getting your business started, investing in learning how to make money with your business can feel to a lot of people who are not in the entrepreneurial space as not legitimate or not real. And I always think about like our sister-in-law, she had a restaurant that she started, and actually you've had a couple of family members who have started restaurants, and the amount of time, energy, blood, sweat, tears, and especially money that go into a brick and mortar business before you can even accept any money. Like before the doors even open for the first person to walk in and hand you money is astounding. And I think with online business, we can be kind of entitled to forcing the business to prove itself before you'll put any resources into it. And I know I was for sure the same way. Like you saw, like I had a whole year of not investing in the business, of like torturing myself over that $300. And before I finally just broke down and was like, okay, I need help figuring out how to do this. And I'm curious your thoughts about that, because I think it's presented very often as like the sensible, responsible choice is to earn money before you invest money. And it's just like so backwards.
Yeah, I think it really is. And I don't know if this is a good analogy, but it's just like anything in life where you want results, whether it's losing weight or building muscle. Yes, you can do push-ups in your basement and make some progress, but getting a trainer, a coach, going to the rec center costs money. It's an investment, and it makes makes a huge difference in the quality and the speed of the results. And that is really amazing, trying to compare a brick and mortar business or any other, some franchise or something like that. There's startup costs in anything, but learning the skills it takes to grow and sustain a business, it's just like a muscle, and you do need to work it, and it takes time, and you will get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And still like so much cheaper than going to business school or something.
Wow. So true. Yep.
Okay. So speaking of investing, something that I've been thinking about a lot lately that has come up for some of my clients is like this guilt about investing time and money into something that feels like it's just for them, and how that can feel like a negative impact on their family and their kids. And I am curious, because you've had a front row seat to all of that, I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. Like, have there been negative impacts? What were they? What are the impacts now? Like, just what are your perspectives on that?
Yes, there have been impacts, obviously. And when you say negative, it's just, yeah, maybe someone who is maybe more selfish or isn't willing to put their partner's comfort and desires before their own, it would be considered a negative.
But I love it. You just called out all those people as selfish. All of the husbands who are like, you can't do this, now you call them selfish.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a critical skill in being in a marriage, is putting yourself almost last. Or at least before. Yeah. At least sometimes. And for me, I remember, yeah, maybe it was weeks or just many weeknights in a row where I'd be wrangling the kids for dinner, for bedtime, and while you were plugging away in the office or maybe going on business calls or, you know, walking through shopping centers of Denver to sell some of your first products out there. And I could see the future. I could see that this is something worth having some temporary discomfort for, because you can only cut back your spending so much. If you need to make a difference in your budget, the easiest way is just to make more money.
Oh, yeah. This is always like, I feel like, our famous thing, because I think in college I read the Shopaholic book series. And and the whole like premise of these books is that Becky, the main character, is just like terrible with her money and like spends every piece of credit she can get her hands on, and like then hides the bills so she doesn't have bad feelings or whatever. And it all like comes to a head in the first book, and she moves home or goes home for a little while. And her dad, who is just very like old school but delightful, I think, tells her like there's only two options, CB or MMM, cut back or make more money. And that just has stuck in my head forever. And I always think like MMM is so much better than CB. Everybody should just MMM.
Yes. I wonder if those books have created a whole generation of entrepreneurial women.
Maybe.
I hope so. So I forget exactly what tangent I was on, but yeah, there's some temporary discomfort that are negative impacts that might come along with encouraging your your wife or your partner to grow their business. But there's also the positive aspects, and those, similar to cutting back versus make more money, the positives have like an infinite ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's the freedom of time, freedom of your movement. I mean, being able to work from anywhere and enjoy the limited time that your children are little munchkins. It's trying to make the most of that, even though there are times when you had less time with them.
Yeah.
Right now, those investments or those sacrifices mean you have infinitely more time. And so do I. I think that's the critical thing. It's not just you. It's me too, and the rest of the people in our family.
Yeah, I agree. I think like so worth it, I think, to have sacrificed whatever I sacrificed, you know, which to me at the time, like I just had always felt very unfulfilled and unsatisfied as a stay-at-home mom with only that as my responsibility. It just really was, it felt like soul crushing, and that feels so mean-spirited, but really it was just very emotionally difficult on me and mentally difficult on me. So much of the business benefit, even when I really wasn't making that much money, was having an outlet for my brain and having something that was part of my identity besides like diaper changes and like baby food and stuff. Like it was just so important. So I think, yeah, maybe it was a sacrifice of some time with them, but maybe it was some time that I needed to spend away from them for my sanity too.
Oh yeah. And I feel like even just looking at that time as your hobby, mm-hmm. which everyone needs to keep their sanity. I don't know. I would, if anyone does still have objections when you bring up these investments, I would just throw it back at them. Like I'm saying this as a husband having objections to the investment, you know, what did you last spend a couple thousand dollars on? I'm sure motorcycle, car, boat, jet ski,
maybe a computer. Not. I don't know. But whatever. Video games.
Video games. Yeah. I think everyone can justify those purchases when you have a little extra cash. And
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like looking at a business investment in that same light is easy to justify.
I feel like that's the worst case scenario, right? Like the worst case scenario is that this is a hobby that you spend money on and you get fulfillment, you get that mental escape, like all of those things. I feel like if that's the worst case scenario, it could still be worth it. And the more likely scenario, not even the best case, just like the more likely thing is that you actually will make money enough to impact your life.
Yes. But yeah, that's, I'm just thinking of some of the objections some people might have.
Yeah.
Or some husbands, people in my position.
Definitely. And I think it's so interesting now, like I remember always thinking, like before you were home with the kids, well, Stu would never want to be home with the kids. Like he would always want to be like doing something. And I think that there's like some validity to that. Like, I don't know that you ever would have like quit a job. Like I could definitely see you still working if you had not lost your job, just being like, well, why would I leave?
Yeah, that is definitely my personality. But yeah, now that it's here, I still get to do things that I want, which is wonderful, and still contribute towards me. I feel like I get a lot of satisfaction over creating value for the community and making sure that the place where we live is a better place for everyone in it. And for me, that involves volunteering at the school, you know, trying to be a good neighbor to everyone who lives near me, mm-hmm. near us, and being helpful for the kids who our children are friends with, and that giving rides to basketball games or hosting sleepovers, things like that not every family maybe would be comfortable or have the free time or disposable income to do. I get a lot of fulfillment out of that. And yeah, there are not so great times about being home with the kids, but hey, it's wonderful now.
I love it. They are also at really good ages. I was telling somebody that the other day. Like, I remember having babies and toddlers and thinking, someday they're going to be 12, 10, and 7. And I think that that's going to be like really fun and really good. And we'll be able to travel with them and all those things. And it is so fun and so good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was, there's so many rewarding things about it. And it's fun to see everyone grow up. And it's really, it's that same investment mentality mm-hmm. of quality time or just any kind of time with your children when they're younger. We'll just come back to the dream state that we were all hoping for, which is adult children hanging out, going on vacations and, spend a lot of time together, enjoying life.
Yeah. You know, recently we talked about this and I think I wrote an email about it. I did a podcast about it. The podcast episode about 100K, like making 100K and making $1 million and the differences between them. In that, I talked about how there was a month where I had just made $30,000 for the first time. And before that, I think 12K was my biggest month ever, but I had only done it once. And like even making 10K was pretty new to me. And then I did this 30K. And like the day that I did it, you lost your job. And I remember like having this like decision point because the mastermind I was in had just increased the rate. It was now 25K. I had to pay that within a couple weeks of you losing your job. And we did not, even though like it sounds like I was making a lot of money, we did not have a lot of money.
No.
Who knows what was going on with it, but we didn't have a lot of money. And I remember like recently thinking and talking to you about like, I can't believe that I did that. And now that we've been thinking back through, I'm like, oh, I actually can see it. Like we were such more risk takers and like we were so much more close to that living on the edge. Like that paycheck to paycheck did not really scare us because that was pretty much the norm, like not that far in front of that event happening. And I think now like my brain is so far from that time. I'm like, oh, I can't believe that I did that, like in awe, but also in like, oh my gosh, glad I did it, but wow. And so now, like now that we've been telling this story again, I'm like, oh, that's why. Because it was risky, but we were so much more comfortable with that level of risk.
It's true. Yeah. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it really wasn't. And I remember that same exact day and, or maybe the couple days after, and I was feeling the pressure of making more money. And I remember going on Craigslist and finding, cause my hobby's always working on cars and fixing them up and selling them and making some extra money on the side. And so I found this truck down in Colorado Springs for like...
Oh, the truck was at that same time?
It was, yeah. Oh my gosh. So like, I don't know, $1,900, something like that. And it needed basically an engine rebuild. And I thought, hey, I do this engine rebuild for a few $100 worth of parts and I could sell this truck for like $4,000 and it'd be such a huge help. Oh my gosh,
that was like always what you were doing.
Yes. And so that was my go-to move when you're kind of in a... situation.
Oh my gosh, I remember that now. I have totally blocked out so much. So I think that like the thesis was I can continue doing what I'm doing with my business and you can like give it a try to just flip cars.
Yeah, right.
For your income. And we thought like maybe the math would work out. You'd make like a few thousand a month and be able to pay all our bills and we'd still be good. I totally forgot that. You never sold that truck. We still have that truck.
I still have it.
Never needed to sell it.
Didn't need to. Thanks to you.
That's so great. Wow. So interesting. Yeah, that was like where almost all the windfalls ever came from that we ever got were you fixing and selling cars. I remember too, like anytime it'd be like, we don't have enough money, sell a car.
Yep. Oh,
Wow. Things have really changed. I feel like we have not reflected on that in a while, and it'll be really interesting, I think, for people to hear it.
It's fun to think about that because it was literally just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, like, people see where we are now, where I am now, and just think, like, that's where I've always been, or, like, that's what our life has always been like. And I grew up with a family with a dad who was an entrepreneur for not all of my childhood, but a lot of my childhood. And I remember seeing him, like, getting out of the military, signing up for Amway, like, all of that. And then, like, having his own business, starting it from scratch, like, having really lean times. Like, I am sure you've heard this story from me a lot, but this is, like, seared into my memory. I was probably 12, and I should have thought of this last night. I think I probably did think of it last night, because last night we had burgers. We had burgers on this night of this event, and I was still hungry after one burger, and we didn't have any more burgers. Oh. And, like, in my mind, this was, like, such an upsetting event. And then there was times I didn't get allowance and that kind of thing because they couldn't afford it. And, like, this is not, like, deep hardship, right? But it was just, like, signals to me that, like, things are not as good as we would like them to be. And so I feel like I had kind of, like, grown up with lean times, feast and famine, right? Like, yes. I had seen all of the spectrum of that. And then I think you had more seen, like, very humble beginnings, building up to a comfortable lifestyle. And then when we started our lives, we were very comfortable. And then things took a turn for the worse in 2008-09 era, and just kind of set us out on this course of struggle. Like, or I feel like more like living on the edge, it felt like. It wasn't like terrible struggle. It probably wasn't obvious to anybody who knew us, because I would have been mortified, but it was tough sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's lots of people who feel like they're in that same situation, but it really was those investments that you put into yourself and your business that got us out of it. And it is really fun to think about those times of lean living. And
it's fun now we're not there. It's like thinking about camping, you know, like, camping feels much more fun to think about than to actually do. Yeah, that's really amazing. Well, I'm glad that we got to reflect on this. I feel like this is always kind of what I think about when I think about the impact on our families of taking these kinds of risks or making these kinds of sacrifices. I always think, like, yeah, look at the impact. Like, look at what we're able to do with our kids now. Look at the fact that you're able to be home full time. Like, look at how much easier, less stressful, like, more fun. Like, I know people are like, money doesn't, like, buy happiness or whatever. Like, our life is so much better with money. It's not perfect. Like, our kids still go to the principal's office. And, like, yes, bad things still happen. But, like, man, having more than enough money to cover needs, wants, that kind of thing just, like, really enhances a life. It's so worth it.
Absolutely. Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's worth it.
And I feel so proud that the work that I do gives that to other people. Like, I feel like there's, like, talking about how it's so nice to have a lot of money. And then there's, like, talking about it with the perspective of this is possible for everybody. Like, even a couple weeks ago, we had family over and they were talking about, like, starting wages and working your way up in a company and all of that. And I was just like, that's BS that no one should waste their time on. Everyone should just become a virtual assistant and be at 100K by the end of the year. And I feel like everyone at the table was like, what? And I was like, this is normal. And to me, I'm like, yes, there's so much demand. Like, if you have no specialty skills at all, but like you can do some like admin type stuff, like this is internet stuff. If you're listening to a podcast, you know enough skills to be a VA. And there's so much demand for it right now. You can network your way there, you know, get 4 clients paying you $2,000 a month and you're there. So I think, you know, to me, I'm like, this is so accessible. Like, we have to keep talking about this. We have to put it out there. And sometimes I think like, oh, wait, it's like super not good to talk about how nice it is to have a lot of money. But I'm like, no, it is nice and you should do it. And it is within your reach.
Absolutely. Keep spreading the message, babe.
I love it. Okay. Well, I'm trying to think about if there's anything else we wanted to cover around this topic of friends and family not supporting or understanding. I think my general take on this always is it's not their job. It's not their job to like mentally and emotionally support your business. It's not their job to believe in your business. It's not their job to understand your business. Like I've said, like the majority of my friends and family who are not in the business space, the online business space, they have no idea what I do. They ask me repeatedly. They refuse to understand no matter how many times I explain. I don't care. And I really do not care what any of them think about my income, what they think about my goals. Like, I'm not out there trying to be like, hey, do you believe I can make 10 million in a year? Like, I don't care if they do. It's irrelevant because it's only my job to believe in those things. So this is always my take. Like, yes, I really want everybody to have the experience of friends and family who love and support them as humans. But you don't need anybody loving and supporting your business except you and then your clients.
Yes. And yeah, if they are your friends and family, they should be there to support you and your desires and you for you because they love you.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't, they don't need to know the ins and outs of your business to be able to support you and be a good friend, be a good family member. That's inconsequential.
Yeah. And it's so valuable, I think, to make friends who understand business. I think like I have friends, a lot of friends who are not in business at all, who don't get it. We actually rarely talk about my business. Like I don't bring it up. They don't really bring it up, or they'll be like, how is it? And I'm like, it's great. Here's like a recent update with very little detail. And it just, it's so different. It's like different worlds. And so then it's been so valuable for me to be part of programs and masterminds where I could make friends. And I have become pretty good friends with a couple of my clients. You know, one of them, Kristen, she's not a client anymore. We're very close. We chat all the time. Like, it's nice to have people like that who get it. And none of those people were pre-existing relationships before my business, and that's okay.
Yeah, you build such strong relationships when you go through either exciting times or difficult times. And I feel like some of your best friends and people you've met have been through your business organizations, your masterminds, things like that. So there's even more upside besides just your personal freedom and your money situation. It's the friends you make along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Do you have any other thoughts or things to share?
I don't think so. It's really just so happy to be in this place in our lives. And it's all really because of those first few leaps of faith. And things couldn't be going better. And everyone else who's listening, it's worth it.
Yes, it totally is. And when you said leaps of faith, it made me think of how much it felt like a leap of faith at the time, and how I also had this mentality of like, this has to work. Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this work. This has to work. Like, it's not a, I'm going to wait and see if it works. Like, I took full responsibility of like, this person I'm investing in could totally drop the ball. I'm still going to figure out how to make this investment back and get what I came for. And of course they didn't. Like, part of having that like really responsible mindset that I had about investments was being really cautious about who I invested in and being really certain about it. And like, that is a big reason why I'm really happy to have money back guarantees with my program, because I want to own that, like that expectation of like, I'm going to deliver at this standard. But I think for me coming into the investments, I just felt like if I'm going to make this sacrifice to put the money towards this instead of something for the family, then it's going to work. That's just the only option. I'm going to make it work.
That commitment, I think, is probably a big part of your success. Staying with it, having that mentality, it's obviously a critical component.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you saw, like, there was years of very minimal return before years of maximal return. Yes. But it all paid off. It was all worth it.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for joining me. Thanks for all your support and such nice thoughts on this podcast.
Of course. Always be here for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, I want to invite you to coach with me over in my program, Mama to CEO. There's you, and there's the consistent income you want to make in your business, and I help you remove everything standing in between. It's lifetime access for mastering your marketing, sales, time, and everything else you need to have the business and life you really want. Whether it's making your first thousand or 100,000, I can help you do it. To join, go to mamatoceo.com. mamatoceo.com.